literally no one can see him, but he loves our podcast so much that he dressed up as Santa Claus.
Is this not live?
Seriously, why are you dressed as Santa?
Because I love Christmas. Why are you dressed as a Georgia Southern fan?
Hey, Chad reached out to me about going to the Myrtle Beach Bowl.
He did. That's true. If anyone in this foursome right now looks ridiculous, it's Chad.
All right, Matt wants to lead us in.
Well, first off, I've got breaking news. Bill Belichick reportedly done at the end of the season.
Is that surprise? I wasn't really surprised by that. He's kind of dropped off.
Without Brady, does the system not work of drafting
six in one hand, half a dozen in the other, I think.
I mean,
yeah, I would say 6-1, half a dozen.
It's funny how terrible white receivers are without Tom Brady.
That is funny.
I wish my beard was less curly. I have a little hole right here for my mouth.
It's very realistic.
I'm just letting you know that if Lucy walks in here and sees you, you have got to play it off.
Oh, I will.
Because she's obsessed. So we went down to Brooklet for the Christmas lighting ceremony. And in comes this Marlboro smoking hillbilly from Brooklet on a golf cart with Christmas lights on it. And Lucy is so excited because she like saw him and ran up and gave him a hug. And he's like, wow. And like just goes, he's like, what do you want for Christmas? And she said she wants a scarf and a flashlight.
That's what she said on the show.
That's so funny.
Well, fellas, really don't have any ball to recap.
What are you talking about, bro? That was a great game at Gillette.
There's no need to recap Army Navy. It's a game that we love every year, but there's no need to recap it. It happened. Army won by 6, and the math. The Navy went for the math win on that one. They were down.
What the? Yeah. Why did they go for 2?
It's smart. If you're down 14, you go for 2 on the first time.
But they weren't down 14. It was 17-9. They had a kick that had been a 7-point game.
Yeah, I noticed that too. That was dumb.
Final score was 17-11.
Right.
Covered the spread.
Why didn't they kick it? It would have been a 7-point game.
Because, okay, you get.
So we are recapping the game.
Well, I'm just saying. Okay, no. Like, it happened last night in the Monday Night Football game too. The Titans.
Which one?
Were down 20. They were the Dolphins Titans. The Dolphins were up 27-13. The Titans score a touchdown. They go for 2. Now, they get it. The reason you do it is statistically you have a 50-50 shot on 2-point conversions. If you get the first one, it's now a 6-point game, and a touchdown and an extra point wins the game. You take the lead. It's an analytics thing. So if you don't get the 2-point conversion in a 14-point game, score a touchdown, don't get the 2, then odds are you're going to get the next 2-point conversion. So then you'll tie the game just like you would have if you kicked 2 extra points.
I still don't like it.
I still would have kicked 2 extra points.
I would have too.
I mean, it is what it is. But anyways, transfer portal is going insane. Recruiting is going insane.
Unless you're Florida.
Trevor Etienne is gone. Is it confirmed Georgia or just crystal ball Georgia?
Oh, it's Georgia.
It's not confirmed, but it's pretty well known. Same with Georgia. Him and London Humphreys should be.
I would not be surprised if Princely goes there too.
Princely had a visit to Ole Miss yesterday.
Princely said that it has nothing to do with money.
Okay. And I've said this a million times. It has everything to do with money. Princely can say it has nothing to do with money, but when you throw a kid, and I don't know what the going rate for a defensive lineman is, I'm assuming
Princely, high. He's
assuming
good.
An edge rusher is a premium position. They're going to be charging, you know, $350,000, $450,000 a season. If you go to him and your Ole Miss and say, hey, we were a top 10 team this year, here's $600,000. You go to Georgia and they say, we could use you, but we don't have to have you. Here's $450,000. Does the money matter? Probably. Come on. You remember being 19 or 20? If someone would have been like, here's $500,000.
I remember being 26 like I am now. If someone said, here's $500,000, I would take it.
Exactly. Exactly. Money matters. NIL matters. And look at Ole Miss's recruiting or transfer portal as a whole.
All I know is that we're losing our stars. Recruiting class has fallen from third to sixth. It's all falling apart. Our 2024 schedule is really hard. And I don't know if I believe in Billy Napier anymore.
how the mighty have fallen.
Ah.
The mighty. He's 11-14. The mighty. What are you talking about?
The mighty confidence has fallen.
Oh, the mighty confidence is non-existent anymore. Like, if I'm just being honest, dude, like, it's not going well for us right now. And I don't know who we're going to hire. Because if we stop believing in him, who's there to go get?
I think we know what Chad wants for Christmas.
Yeah, I want a program that wins.
I feel like there's only a few places that Lane Kiffin would go. Florida would probably be on the list.
You know, I like Lane Kiffin. I would be very okay with Lane Kiffin. But I can tell you right now, the Florida faithful do not want that.
They probably don't want it.
Don't like him.
But it kind of would make sense, though, if you look at, like, historically, like, he's the most Steve Spurrier kind of thing that you would get. Offensive-minded, a little bit cocky, fun follow on Twitter, talks trash on Twitter.
I think the answer is Kyle Whittingham.
Just like the answer was Billy Napier.
Listen. Hear me
out. He's going to move from Utah to Florida.
Hear me out. Remember what happened last time we hired the Utah head coach? We lost control of the program. Everybody went wild. Riley Cooper said some things. Aaron Hernandez did some things. The Pouncey brothers did some things. But Cam Newton did some things. But we won games. And all I'm saying is, if we let the inmates run the asylum, it's good for the program.
Hashtag Florida football, baby.
If Miami would figure that out again, they'd also be winning national championships.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is, if we get a lack of institutional control penalty from the NCAA, we're doing something correctly.
Because you probably would have won a couple natties in the end.
And they can take them and they can vacate them all they want, but it doesn't matter. We want them.
Yeah.
Like, bring me Urban Meyer. Bring me back those days,
and
man.
That's when Chad has a reason to go full Georgia Southern fan, because his...
No chance.
Florida gets the death penalty, so he's like, oh, I guess Georgia Southern ain't half bad.
No, at that point, I think I would go full Ole Miss, because I think we all know Ole Miss has always been my number two.
Wait, do you have a soft spot for Ole Miss?
Slight one.
Oh, really? Never heard that one before.
So if the Granada, Mississippi branch ever needs an OSR, but I would say, to me, I think the most surprising transfer, I got to be honest, is Tyler Van Dyke. Tyler Van Dyke left Miami to go to Wisconsin. That I saw that today, and that actually really, really took me off guard. Like, I don't think that's some kind of big power move. I think Wisconsin's still a few years away under Luke Fickell, but realistically, like, that was incredibly surprising. Like, Kyle McCord, Dylan Gabriel was a surprise to me, but they still have, what's his name? He's going to start the bowl game.
Jackson Arnold. That didn't surprise me at all.
Who does Miami have coming in at quarterback? Not that I think Tyler Van Dyke's all that great, but you never know. A change of scenery can do a lot for a guy.
He had his moments. I mean, you saw it against Texas A&M this year where he kind of went off. Dylan Gabriel didn't surprise me, because I think that was a little bit of a, hey, you're not guaranteed to be the starter here next year because this Jackson Arnold kid is legit. There's been a lot of people that were high on Jackson Arnold, even whenever Arch, because they're in the same class. And there was a lot of people who were like, I know Arch is getting all the attention, but Jackson Arnold, that kid is very, very talented. So I think Dylan Gabriel was a little bit of a, hey, it's going to be a new offense. We want Jackson Arnold to run it. Oregon's phenomenal fit for Dylan Gabriel. Great move for him. Mississippi State thought they were going to get Dylan Gabriel. I get the idea because of Jeff Lebby taking over as the head coach of Mississippi State, but NIL matters, man. And that kid wasn't going to take a massive pay cut to go play in Starkville, Mississippi.
Hey, they got Blake Chapin instead.
They did get Blake Chapin. And I'll be honest.
Baylor.
But I honestly think that Blake Chapin is a good fit for what Jeff Lebby does on offense.
Yep.
Like, Blake Chapin was not a good fit with what Baylor does on offense. Blake Chapin could be all right for Jeff Lebby. I think he'll do fine there. And he's not going to be super expensive because what has he done?
Speaking of Mississippi State, has Will Rogers been confirmed to Washington yet? That's kind of been the big word around him.
I've not seen a confirmation on Will Rogers. Brock Vandergriff was confirmed to Kentucky.
Yep.
And I think that's a really good, great fit for him.
Yeah, it is.
I think Riley Leonard to Notre Dame is probably my favorite fit besides Dylan Gabriel.
I don't know. I don't know how I feel about Riley Leonard. Like, I thought he did fine at Duke, but I
think Auburn was in the mix for him too because he's an Alabama boy, right?
Auburn was trying to throw. In the mix. I don't know if there was ever a confirmation on that one either, but I know that he did take a visit to Auburn. Can I say that though? Like, and I saw this take on Twitter. I don't remember who it was from, but I actually really legitimately agreed with it. And this is like me taking the bias off for a second of being an Alabama fan. Why are there not more quarterbacks that are looking to go play for Hugh Freeze?
Oh, Auburn. I think Auburn. I was having a conversation with my dad about this. Auburn is pretty much a quarterback away.
Yeah,
I know. In my opinion, they've got the talent.
And their recruiting class, they've got two of the top 10 receivers in the country.
Are we diminishing the talent around Peyton Thorne? Because he averaged like 86 passing yards a game.
We're not diminishing the talent around Peyton Thorne. We're diminishing Peyton Thorne.
The talent is Peyton Thorne.
Like, look, Peyton Thorne, you and I had a conversation about this on the phone. Was it yesterday? Like, Peyton Thorne had one really good game at Michigan State, and that was in the Peach Bowl against Pitt. And that was pretty much about it. Like, Peyton Thorne never did anything to, like, wow anybody. And I think we all knew, even when he transferred, it was like, I don't really know how big of a win this is. Because Michigan State's always been that. Michigan State has always been, to me, Iowa with more flash. Like, their offense has always been kind of run first and pass later and be able to win on our defense.
They've had a lot of much better running backs come through there than Iowa has.
Well, and Kenneth Walker and examples like that. Yeah.
Yeah. They're Le'Veon like, Bell.
Yeah, Iowa does what Michigan State does with running backs, but with tight ends.
Yes.
That's why I said Michigan State has been Iowa with more
Iowa's,
flat.
Yeah, Iowa's entire offense is tight ends.
Yes. Trying to think of other big Juice Wells, South Carolina wide receiver, looking at Ole Miss. I feel like that was the heavy favorite.
Yep.
Walter Nolan is a big name. A lot of people are in heavy on him. I've heard Texas is in the mix for him. Ole Miss is in the mix for him.
He was just at Oregon.
Oregon's in the mix for him. That's a big chip on the table that could be a difference maker for any of those programs.
Where's the Kansas State quarterback going? Where's Walker Howard projected?
Will Howard. He's projected to go to USC, but yeah. I think
that's a good fit.
Where did they say? Oh my God! I think Miami was where they were kind of looking at him too. Apparently, he wanted to go to Miami, but Miami's getting Cam Ward this weekend, coming to town. And I just read an article. Yeah, I was doing some research on three, and according to Chad Simmons, who knows a lot about recruiting, he thinks Cam Ward either comes out of this weekend as a NFL prospect and goes to the draft, or he comes out as a Miami commit. Which kind of surprised me. I thought he was all Ohio State, to be honest with you.
And who – I saw something today. I can't remember. Speaking of Pac-12 quarterbacks, like on the same wavelength as Cam Ward, where did they say DJU was visiting today?
I know Florida State's big on his list.
Yes, Florida State. Yeah. That's what it was. He was coming, like he was going to come back to the ACC. I think DJU at Florida State's a really good replacement for Jordan Travis.
Yeah.
Especially if you're just going to get 1 year out of DJU, and then you're going to get that kid coming in from BC out of Savannah. What's his name, Matt?
Luke Kromanek or something like that?
Kromenbauer. I can't say his last name. But he's pretty good. Like he won back to back state championships, took his team to the Final Four this year in Georgia. And you know, you can take what you want with Georgia high school football. I think the four of us know pretty solidly and have enough experience around to know that Georgia high school football can compete with pretty much any state in the country. The recruits that you're getting out of Georgia are usually gonna be solid guys. Kromenrock, I think that's his name.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Kromenrock. But yeah, if you have DJU come in at Florida State and then you have Kromenrock behind him, I think that's a good move for Mike Norvell. And especially in the 12-team playoff, I don't think Florida State's going anywhere. I mean, I'm not trying to get back into that conversation we had last week, but I don't think Florida State's going anywhere in the ACC other than the fact that, you know, the word is that they're going to be in the Big Ten come the end of the year. But
I'd be so shocked. Anybody else
see
that,
by the way?
If Florida State or Clemson leave, it's got to be SEC.
It's got to be. I think there's four prime candidates from the ACC to join other conferences, and I think it's Clemson, Miami, Florida State, and North Carolina. And I definitely think the SEC, if the SEC is going to join this super conference fad like they already have with the Big Ten, then it's got to be those four that you bring in.
I don't think
geographically it makes sense.
You can't do UNC without Duke, though. That's the problem. Because it's going to be the same way for basketball, too. You can't have them in different conferences.
See, that's the thing. Is football has taken the lead on the super conference movement. I think, in a way, you got to leave basketball out of it. I think basketball is its own thing.
But men's basketball is the only other revenue maker, and you have to take it into account.
Well, and UNC and Duke make more revenue off of basketball than they do football.
Correct.
Both of them do. So for them, if they were to go to the SEC...
I don't know about more.
I think UNC football actually probably makes an equivalent to UNC basketball. Dude. I think UNC cares about football way more than Duke does.
I think
UNC wants to be good at football.
UNC has a better football team right now, but I still think their basketball team makes some more money. Their stadium, their arena is massive in Lexington. It's huge.
Lexington.
Yeah, Lexington. Oh, Kentucky.
Chapel Hill. Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at it right here. Let's see.
So basketball is about 30 million. Football is 45, maybe a little higher.
For UNC?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's only because I feel like it's really hard. Football is a sheer numbers game. Like for all the ticket sales for football are going to be, there's just more. Like UNC has a big basketball arena, but they've got a bigger football stadium. So anytime they have a sellout crowd when they play a home game against Clemson, Florida State, Duke,
even NC State,
all those are big game. App State, all of that money gets taken into consideration along with, you know, everything else that football does.
Make no mistake,
basketball is a bigger deal in North Carolina, but revenue wise, it's not going to reflect that.
Make no mistake about this. As a former resident of North Carolina, basketball is king, but I think UNC wants to be a football player. They want to be a player in the game.
The problem with North Carolina, we've talked about this before, is, and it kind of plays into Appalachian State's favor. App State is the best football program in that state.
And has been for a while.
And it has been for a long time, because there's really, like, your competition is NC State, UNC, and Duke.
And they're all basketball.
They're all basketball heavy schools. Like, they would rather win a national championship in basketball than, I think, North Carolina is starting to get to the point where they want to win in football, and they showed that by hiring Mack Brown and bringing him back. But realistically, App State has kind of asserted themselves as a premier program of North Carolina, and every, like, App State grads pull for App State in football and UNC in basketball. And it's like kind of the reverse Georgia Southern, where in Georgia, UGA is the premier program, so Georgia Southern is never going to be a dominant, you know, football program. But when it comes to basketball, most people are like, I can pull for Southern because Georgia doesn't really matter.
Not this year, man. No. Not this year.
They're about to be 0-10. They're 0-9 playing Tennessee now.
I mean, Georgia Southern basketball is never going to be a premier player either. Like, but
people in Statesboro need to accept that the best program that we have is baseball.
Yeah, yes. Chad's waiting for that season ticket to start.
I think that's pretty well known.
I have not bought my season tickets, but I'm going to be a Georgia Southern baseball season ticket holder. I'm telling you.
I will come join you, though.
I would say that's pretty accepted amongst Georgia Southern fans.
I'll never get Matt to come to J.I. Clements with me this year.
That's not true. I'll go to J.I. Clements. I'm just not going to buy season tickets.
That's fine. I want to go to some games. I love Matt. I have to put my arm around Matt right now and go, if there's anybody who has pushed my love for college baseball in the past 2 years, it has been with the help of Matt Howell.
I appreciate that because
he has been the advocate. And I'll be honest, I have gotten to the point where, like, until the Braves start, like from February to April in that gap, yeah, I've been watching college baseball.
It's fun.
It's awesome.
It's fun.
I love baseball. Like, you can't take that out of me. I do. Baseball has always been my number two.
I've got to give a lot of credit to ESPN because of the ESPN Plus that gives you the availability to watch it. Because that's one
ESPN
thing
Plus
that,
worth it.
That's one thing that they used to not be able to do. Like, when I was a kid, you wouldn't hear about college baseball until the regionals. And then when the regionals started, it'd be like, oh, these were the teams that are in it. And it's like, oh, Cal State Fullerton, they're always pretty good. So they're probably going to win theirs. But
they never do.
And that, well, they
make it to Omaha. They don't ever win, but they make it there once in 2002.
2004.
Sorry.
Get it right.
No, I knew it was in there somewhere.
Look, not that I don't love talking about college baseball, but we still got some college football to talk about.
We do. And this is a strictly picks episode.
I guess it's not anymore because
we're not anymore.
30 minutes in now, but
are we really 30 minutes in? My goodness.
Picks only.
Picks, but yeah. So from here, just to explain to our viewers how we're going to do it. You will not hear from us, unfortunately, until 2024. So we can say that this is our last. No, that's not right because the playoff is on New Year's Day. So excuse me. This is the second to last episode that you will hear from us in 2023. So what we're going to do tonight is we're going to go through and pick some bowl games of intrigue that are non-New Year's Six or non-playoff games and give you our synopsis of games that you should be looking out for. And then we'll come back again after Christmas and we will give you our playoff picks. And then obviously after that, we'll come back for the national championship. But before we get into our games of intrigue that we have that are going to be bowl games that we think that you should all be watching, we're going to start with our pour one out, cut them off, and go around the circle as usual. I'm going to shoot it over to Santa Claus because I know none of you guys can see it right now, but our wonderful friend and gracious co-host, Whit Barfield, is in a Santa suit on Tuesday, December 12th. I don't know why, but he is, and it's graceful. It's wonderful. And Whit, who are you going to pour one out for this week, Santa?
So instead of doing a pour one out and cut them off this week, I'm actually going to have a naughty or nice list.
Oh, my God.
and so this week on...
We should all do that.
On the naughty list, I have two naughty list members right now. Number one is NIL and the transfer portal. We've complained about this a couple times already this year, but the fact that they're both coming to light at the same time has caused some very sketchy things to happen with college football. The fact that you go to On3, and when you look up their recruiting rankings or their transfer rankings, they show an NIL valuation is very telling. It's very telling. And every time somebody transfers, all you hear about is, well, they just got a big NIL deal. They just got a big NIL deal, and everybody's just becoming a free agent. So, and that being said, the second member of my naughty list is Dylan Raiola, who by Sunday will be a member of the Nebraska Cornhuskers class of 2024, as per Chad Simmons of On3. And
rule, dude.
You know what? It's going to be huge for the Nebraska program. He's probably going to start day one. I can't imagine they take Cal McCord after taking Dylan Raiola, because I believe the only reason Dylan Raiola is transferring is, number one, because of family ties. We'll give him credit for that. But number two, Carson Beck, more than likely, is coming back to the University of Georgia. Probably the reason Brock Vandergrift transferred. And now Dylan Raiola is finding this out, which makes me think, he thought he was going to roll in and start in 2024, which I don't think Kirby has started a single freshman in the first game of the season since he's been there.
And Gunnar Stockton is still there.
He is. And we haven't even seen him play yet, so we don't know what he's going to be. So, you know, naughty list, Dylan Raiola. Good for Nebraska, bad for Georgia. And I'm going to be a big Ryan Puglisi fan for the next 4 years. So, and I don't have a nice list. I just said that, but I hate everyone. I'm a mean Santa, dark Santa.
Cole for everyone.
He's Krampus.
Krampus this year.
I'm demon Santa. Matt, let's hear it.
So this week, I'm going to start off with my cutoff.
Nice list. The naughty list.
Oh, excuse me. I'm going to start off with my naughty list, which is Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes is on the naughty list because I have always not really liked him. I've always appreciated his talent. I've thought he's a very good quarterback in the National Football League. The best quarterback in the NFL right now, and still is. I mean, just unbelievably talented. But on Sunday, Kadarius Toney lined up offsides. And unobjectively, everyone saw Kadarius Toney line up offsides.
He was offsides.
And it's not close. Like, there's not been anybody that said, no, he wasn't offsides. It's been, yeah, but they didn't call it earlier when he was offsides. Well, they threw the flag before the play happened. They had thrown the flag already. They didn't wait until the play had taken place, and then they said, oh, I'm going to throw the flag because he was offsides. No, they threw the flag. Patrick Mahomes proceeds to go to a press conference and say, they took away one of the greatest plays ever, and they're ruining Travis Kelce's Hall of Fame career because of it, and it's not fair. Like, cry a little more, Patrick. And it's so annoying because I've always felt like he had that little streak in him of just crybaby, sore loser. And now that it's coming out, I'm like, all right, I feel validated in why I don't like him. And I've never really liked him. Again, wildly talented quarterback. I appreciate the talent that he has. It is what it is. Yeah, Patrick Mahomes, lump of coal from Krampus. The nice list. I got to give a shout out, and I mentioned it a little bit already, to my boy Lane Kiffin. He is tearing it up right now. If you look at Ole Miss's returning, like potential returners this year on offense, so far they have been able to keep all of the major pieces. Trey Harris confirmed coming back for next year. Jordan Watkins confirmed coming back next year. Jackson Dart coming back next year. Caden Prescorn at tight end coming back next year. Jared Ivey, defensive end, coming back next year. While also going into the portal, adding Taz from the safety from Illinois, adding the number one linebacker in the transfer portal from Arkansas, who, and the number one JUCO wide receiver in the country, former LSU wide receiver Deion Smith, is coming in. Potentially Juice Wells is coming in, and he's got premier five-star players on visits this week. Princely came in yesterday on a visit. Walter Nolan's supposed to be in at some point this week on a visit. We're talking about Ole Miss here, folks. We're not talking about Alabama. We're not talking about Georgia. We're not talking about Oregon. We're not talking about Texas. We're not talking about Florida.
We're talking about practice?
We're talking about Ole Miss. Lane Kiffin, thanks to NIL, has turned them into a place where they could potentially do very, very big things. I obviously don't think he's going to land all those guys because it's going to start getting a little expensive. But I've got to give him tons of credit for the way that he's marketed the University of Mississippi, for the way that he has brought a fan base all in united to buy into the collective there. And today in his press conference for the Peach Bowl was wearing a Grove Collective pullover. Very, very smart marketing. Lane Kiffin has done an absolute phenomenal job. Peach Bowl's upcoming against Penn State. He's on the nice list. I got to give it to him. He's doing these things at Ole Miss. Something that I don't think very many people ever thought Ole Miss would be doing is bringing in top tier talent legally. Chad.
I will say this, like, completely off topic from my naughty and nice list this week. Ole Miss is legitimizing themselves because of Lane Kiffin as a national championship contender next year. If they land these guys.
Definitely, they're definitely a playoff contender.
They're a playoff contender. I would say that Ole Miss could have a relatively... Ole Miss is going to make the playoff next year. 12 teams, Matt.
Yeah, but...
12 teams.
Still.
12 teams.
Got to play Georgia. Got to go to Oklahoma. Got to play Oklahoma.
12 teams.
Got to play... Well, no, next year they don't play Alabama.
How about saying no Alabama for Lane Kiffin next year, right? Gets Georgia at home.
We kept the Vanderbilt rivalry, right?
Oh, no, Vanderbilt God, rivalry. Man,
wow. Took that away from us. Oh, horrible. Wow. Oh, God.
Horrible.
Oh, man.
It's very sad.
Ugh. But on my nice list this week, I've got to pour one out for a couple things. I am pouring one out. Excuse me. We're not doing that. On my nice list this week, my nice list is going to include Georgia high school football. Anybody, and I know, Matt, you probably did. Anybody watch the Pierce County Rockmart game today?
Triple overtime?
Overtime thriller, dude. And shout out to our good buddy, Ian Kessler, who is from Blackshear, Georgia. No shout outs for anybody else from Blackshear, Georgia, whose grandparents.
The King, Stetson Bennett.
I don't know who that is. Is he from Blackshear?
Rehab.
Yeah, I think he owns a USPS store down there or something.
His grandparents do own a pharmacy.
He is still an NFL quararterback. Let's all keep that in mind.
He's in rehab, but
he's out of rehab.
Matthew Stafford started this
week. He was in Athens for the Georgia Ole Miss game.
Okay. Oh, wow. But he wasn't in Los Angeles, was he?
He's currently working his way back.
There's no defending him.
He's working his way back.
He will be starting for the Birmingham Stallions this year.
He got to rehab faster than Manziel did. Let's just put that out there.
Okay. did he crack into Grampy's stash, or did he go down to the liquor store and break in and get schnockered?
Well, he's not Dakotas Crawford, so he's not breaking in.
He spent a little too much time with Rick Ross. Let's just say that.
I feel like he's pulling a total Chad Kelly right now.
Chad Kelly, he
just decided to get drunk at Von Miller's party and go to the neighbor's house and get naked on the couch.
And then fight high schoolers in New York,
dude,
too.
People
right?
These days are so sensitive.
Yeah.
Like, come on. This happens
all
the time.
If Chad Kelly's naked on the couch, just say, hey, man, do you mind putting on some clothes?
But seriously, on my nice list this week is the Georgia High School Football State Championships. They're going on as we speak.
Games on downstairs
at Matt's house. Who's Perry and Stockbridge right now?
Perry was up 31-21.
34-24 when we came upstairs, I thought. Yeah. But, yeah, dude, I turned on good old Georgia Public Broadcasting today at work, watched the Georgia High School 2A state championship game, Pierce County and Rockmart. Dude, what a game. Triple overtime for the state championship in the state of Georgia, man. It was absolutely phenomenal to see. I love it. I'm so happy that the GHSA state championships are back in Mercedes-Benz Stadium at Turner.
I didn't even know that.
They are. They're
yeah,
they're
back in
no,
Mercedes-Benz this
they're
year.
Not at Turner Field anymore.
It's a lot better.
Okay.
A lot.
I went, so I went when my high school went to the state championship, I went with my family, and they were at Georgia State's stadium, Turner Field.
In the rain. We went to the game in the rain.
Stadium, whatever they call it.
No.
Don't call it that. It's Turner Field.
Don't you call it anything besides Turner Field.
It's called the stadium formerly known.
As soon as I said it.
The stadium formerly known as Mouse Cop.
As Mouse Cop. And it was less than desirable. It was just.
Yeah. It's Turner Field.
And as a kid, you want to play in the professional state. It's like the only chance most of these kids will get to do that.
You want to go play in the Georgia Dome?
Yeah.
You want to go play in Mercedes-Benz?
Which I also
want to go play.
But not nice list for that game. That game is absolutely awesome. Triple overtime, Rockmart, Pierce County. Like I said a few minutes ago, shout out to our good buddy Ian Kessler. He's from Blackshear. Pierce County has become a powerhouse in the 1 to 2A to maybe even 3A at one point, I think, classifications of Georgia high school football and
sports in general.
They're good at wrestling. They're really good at wrestling school, basketball. Pierce County's doing things down there, man. And, like, you gotta give a shout-out. For as much crap as I talk about small towns on this show, me and Matt live in one, and these people, that's all they have, and it's great to see, like, good community involvement. Pierce County, good for them, man. For the people of Blackshear and their Piggly Wiggly that they have down there. One of the very few Piggly Wigglies remaining.
Hey, they're back. There's one back in Pooler, baby.
There's one back in Pooler. Me and Matt, former Piggly Wiggly employees, actually.
Pig at the pig.
And I've got a double nice list. Pour one out for Augusta University and the Masters of Arts in Teaching program. So I, today, as of about 1 p.m., was formally accepted into the Augusta University Masters of Arts Teachers program. I am, yes, clap for me, baby. Love it. Love it. Round of applause. So I have officially started my journey today to become, as a wit pats his belly. Santa pats his belly. I have officially started my journey to become a teacher. So the next year will be pretty wild for me. August 2024, I will officially be a Jaguar at Augusta University online program. So looking forward to that. Looking really forward to, you know, getting a new change of career and direction, and hope everything goes well, and looking forward to coaching some kids in the future and football, and hopefully being the first ever lacrosse coach in the history of Bullitt County, Georgia. Looking really, really forward to that. And I actually do not have anybody on my naughty list this year. I could go with the Atlanta Falcons for doing Atlanta Falcons things, but you know what? It's Christmas time, and there's no need to vent about them because they always suck and will forever let us down. And Keys, welcome back, buddy.
Thanks.
It's been a couple weeks.
It's been
good
a while.
Good to see you again.
Been crazy busy.
Good to see you again. Keys has been traveling and working. And Keys, who you got this week on your naughty and nice list?
I throw myself on the naughty list for not being here. But, you know, the burden of going last is that both of mine get taken every week. So, again, for the naughty list this week, not going to pile too much more on, but for the Patrick Mahomes situation there, I did think that the end where he was talking to Josh Allen at the end, that was probably the worst part for me.
Trash.
You walk up and at the greeting, you know, what do you, and you say, what do you say? Worst, you know, effing call I've ever seen, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
In that situation, how are you going to do that? Well, and like Josh Allen's just like struck. He's like, what do you want Josh Allen to say in that situation? Like, what's he supposed to do? He had nothing to do with it. He played a decent game, you know, but I don't know. It was kind of low class. So the whole situation, Matt talked about it already. You know, we don't have to harp on it too much. I posted a tweet about who cries more, Patrick Mahomes or a newborn child. Obviously, Patrick Mahomes wins. But yeah, moving on to the nice list. Once again, I was going to congratulate Chad. Chad gave himself a pat on the back, but I'll give Chad a pat on the back too. Congratulations to Chad on getting into graduate school. Excited for you, buddy.
You know, I don't have a nice list, but I'm going to go ahead and write this on mine.
Go Jaguars.
Go Jags.
We're talking about Chad's potential new job. I don't know if we ever talked about your new job. Keys has been very busy with his new job. He got a job with a new sign company, and he's been traveling and taking care of some pretty big clients. So give a nice list signage.
Got to stay in a hotel right next to the river in PNC Park. That was cool. Those cool photos you sent us the other day.
The Berg, baby. The Berg.
That was for the Christmas party.
Yeah, that was for Krista's company Christmas party. They flew us up there. That was pretty sick, though. Pittsburgh's awesome. I guess I'll do a nice list for Pittsburgh.
Oh, yeah, you didn't even talk about Pittsburgh.
I didn't get to talk about my App State experience, which, by the way, you mentioned that earlier, too. The App State fans, it was pretty awesome to see them out there in action. Really passionate fans. Even on a Thanksgiving week, so good for them. Yeah, Pittsburgh was cool too, though. Had some like nice Pittsburgh classic stuff. It sucked though because we got there on Friday, and there was a just so happened to be a Thursday night game. And then we left on Sunday, and there was a Penguins game on Sunday. So we couldn't make it work for any Pittsburgh sports, which was, you know, but we went and saw the stadiums and stayed next to PNC Park and everything. So it's
very cool.
Got to see it. So, you know, next time we'll be back up there. So we'll try to go to a game or a tour.
I'll be up there.
Oh, yeah.
PNC Park is without a doubt one of the gems of Major League Baseball.
Yes.
Like, absolute one. It's a shame that the Pirates are not better. They've been a historically putrid franchise.
That's a tough market for baseball.
It is.
It's not a baseball city.
It's honestly a football hockey city.
It's a football city.
Hockey.
They love the Penguins too.
They love the Penguins.
They love the Penguins.
I mean, that makes sense. It's a blue collar city. Blue collar cities generally gravitate towards football and hockey.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I always forget that Pitt shares the stadium as well.
Yeah.
They've got all the shared branding.
Did you tour the University of Pittsburgh while you were there?
No, I didn't get over to the campus.
That would have been a good.
Yeah, I didn't have time to get over to the campus. Yeah. But you know, we did a bunch of other stuff, saw the stadium and all that stuff. So did what we could.
But man. I refuse to call it Acrisure. It's always going to be Heinz Field.
I didn't even realize it.
I was like, what is this?
Half the allure of that stadium is the giant Heinz sign that's on the outside of it.
Yes.
Like whenever you sent that you were next to Acrisure, I had to take a minute and I was like, Acrisure, is that Heinz Field?
This actually brings me to a quick question real quick. Like when you're picking your ketchup at the store, are you guys Hunt's or Heinz guys?
Oh, I'm a Heinz guy.
Oh, you really?
Always have
been. See, I'm not. I'm a Hunt's guy.
No.
Unbelievable.
Hunt's ketchup is better. I'm a Hunt's ketchup guy.
Interesting.
It's all the same stuff. It's
all
just
all I eat are Christmas cookies, so I never eat ketchup.
See, Hunt's
ketchup is sweeter.
Exactly, and I
like sweet ketchup.
I want my ketchup to have a little twang.
See, I like their ad they have where they have like people emptying the other brands of ketchup into the Heinz bottle, and they say even when it's not Heinz, it's Heinz. Heinz is the only way to go. You got to have the glass bottle.
I will say Heinz. Heinz needs to bring back the old 90s market of the old colored ketchup.
Oh, the Grinch.
Yeah, the green and the purple.
Oh, man. No, the green and the purple ketchup. Yeah.
No.
Dude, are you kidding me? I would eat some purple ketchup.
I used to get the green, and there was a twang to it that was not pleasant. I remember being like, I don't know if this is a psychological thing or.
I think it was the same flavor. I think. It was just
food coloring. That was all it was.
It just had a certain taste to it that was not favorable. And it's
never had it.
Speaking of this, Chad, when I come down for our road trip to the Orange Bowl, am I finally going to get to try an IGA chicken finger with the Hunt's ketchup?
Yes. No, well, there will be Hunt's ketchup in my home, but
yeah, that's what I figured.
Yes, I will have IGA. Shout out to the Independent Grocers Association. shout out to them for all their chicken fingers. But yes, there will be IGA chicken fingers at my home for you to try.
Wonderful.
So about this picks only episode.
About this picks only episode.
Yeah, 52 minutes in. So
the way that we are doing it this year, so we are going to have. We're going to go around the circle, and we're going to have two bowl games from each person of intrigue that are not New Year's Six. I think I said this earlier, that are not New Year's Six, and we're going to have Whit start us off. So, Whit, what are your two bowl games of intrigue that you are picking for our fans and fans of college football to watch that should keep their eyes on, and who are your winners?
So, Keys, are you going to be involved in this? I don't think you saw the list we did.
Yeah, I'll do one. I'm sure.
So I'm
going to
change one of mine. I was going to do Georgia Southern, but I figure I'll do Georgia Southern.
You know, it's already taken one of yours, Keys.
Yeah, no, you can do Georgia Southern. I'll do a different one.
Yeah, sure, I'll take it.
So I'll go ahead and start. I'll start with my second one, which was Iowa versus Tennessee. And the reason I wanted to do this game is because there's been a lot of talk about Iowa beating Tennessee in this game. I'm trying to scroll to remember where it's the Citrus Bowl, the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl, to be precise.
What?
And Tennessee is favored by 8.5. I'm going to tell you right now, Tennessee is going to clear that by about 40 points. They're going to destroy this.
Santa.
Iowa, oh, yeah. Santa. Sorry. Santa just swore. I'm sorry. Grow up, kids. But anyway, Iowa has been just praised all season about their phenomenal defense and how about they can hold anybody to less than 20 points. They haven't played a team with a pulse all season, and they can't even score 18 points against most teams. This is the worst team. This is one of the worst teams to go 9-3 I've ever seen. It's ridiculous.
10-2
10-2 Even worse. Even worse. They are going to get blitzed so bad by Tennessee. A Tennessee team that I don't even consider to be that good. But Tennessee has a better defense than they've had in the last 10 years. Their offense isn't great, but it's good enough to score on an Iowa defense that has seen nothing but Big Ten West teams all season. Big Ten West, by far the worst division in Power 5 football. Not even close. Maybe even Group of 5 football. I mean, it was awful. Wisconsin's usually the only team in that division that's worth a crap. And even this year, they sucked. Georgia Southern, if Davis Brin didn't turn the ball over 7 times in that game by himself, Georgia Southern would have won that game. Fully believe it. I was in the stands. I fully believe it. So, Tennessee's beating Iowa, and I have to pick a second one. Is anybody doing Wisconsin LSU?
No.
All right.
Back to Wisconsin.
Wisconsin LSU. Speaking of Wisconsin, hold on. What's the spread on this one? Let's look. Wisconsin LSU. God,
would you
in the Relia Quest? I had to change my pick.
To be fair, he gave me a pick.
Exactly. So. In the Relia Quest Bowl, LSU is favored by 10.5. LSU this season, if you've watched LSU, every single game they've played in this year, their offense has scored 30-plus points. Except for against Alabama, they had 28. And Wisconsin has not looked good all season. They've had maybe 2 games against Big Ten West teams, which, as we've just stated, are terrible, where they've looked decent. LSU is... their defense is awful. It might be the worst defense in Power 5 football. Wisconsin is not good enough on offense to take advantage of that. LSU, 10.5-point favorite. I think they win by 28. And I'm probably being SEC biased here towards the Big Ten West teams, but I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to be a beatdown. So, as long as I don't pass out in the Santa suit because it's so damn hot right now, I'm going to watch 2 SEC teams blow the doors off of 2 Big Ten West teams. And so I believe that fully.
Wait a minute. I missed the part where you were picking intriguing games.
So, yeah, they're intriguing. Not to me. It's intriguing to me that people think they're going to be close.
Chad, you're on record saying that bowl season doesn't matter. So are any of these games intriguing?
No. I love bowl season.
Only for Georgia Southern. Only for Georgia Southern.
Okay, maybe it's
going to go. I tried to convince Keys to go to Myrtle Beach. Okay,
for the beaches.
It's in December.
You said it was just for the beaches, Chad.
I did say it
was. He wanted to go to the beach.
I want to go to the beach.
I want to go to the beach.
Exact words.
I did say that. Matt, do you really think I want to go to the game? I just want to go to the beach
in December.
And I was like, that just sounds so false. It's December. Like, who's in Myrtle Beach is freezing. It's north of here.
It's 40 degrees here now.
I'll be honest, wearing a Santa costume, the beach sounds terrible. And I'm going to Miami.
Miami. All right. Is it my turn? Beautiful. All right, so first matchup that I selected, Kansas State, NC State. And it looked like it would be a phenomenal game. I hate the transfer portal being an option before bowl games, though, because you've got 19 players that have jumped in the transfer portal for Kansas State and 18 for NC State and 18 for Kansas State. How many of those are real difference makers? Will Howard's a difference maker. That's going to be big. It's a top 25 matchup. Like, for the Pop-Tarts Bowl, this should be a very, very good, exciting matchup, but it's just not. First time in history that there is an edible mascot. I don't know if y'all saw that or not, but there will be an edible mascot at the Pop-Tarts Bowl, which is exciting. I'm assuming that the winning team gets to go take a bite out of the mascot. Who knows? That's going to be interesting. Look, I think I'm going to go Kansas State here. It's two coaches that what I really like about this. Two coaches I highly, highly respect. Chris Kleinen, Dave Doran. great, great football coaches at two programs that are historically not top 25 programs.
Average.
Like, very average programs. And they've got them at 9-3 and 8-4. Very good seasons for both of them. I think Kansas State's going to win this game and cover. They're a three-point favorite. I really don't know what NC State's going to have come out. And these bowl season has always been unpredictable. It's even worse now with transfer portal, as you don't really know who's it opting in, who's going to play, who's opting out, all that good stuff. Game two, the following day, so the NC State, the Pop-Tarts Bowl is on the 28th of December. The 29th of December, Clemson, Kentucky. And I think Clemson is going to beat the ever-living hell out of Kentucky, personally. Clemson's a 4.5-point favorite. I just don't think Kentucky is all that good. And I think Clemson found themselves towards the end of the year looking a lot more like Clemson is supposed to. And Dabo is a culture guy. He is preached about Clemson and forever. He loves Clemson. Stoops is going to have some buy-in, but look, I think next year with Brock Vandegrift coming in, Kentucky's got the excitement. They've already kind of turned the page to 2024. I think Clemson is going to use this. Dabo's going to use this as a statement as far as, hey, when we're going into next year, we're going to at least have momentum. How much momentum is the Tax Slayer Gator Bowl going to give you? I don't know. But it will be better than losing it, because if you lose this game to Kentucky and you're Dabo Swinney, it doesn't look good. So I think Clemson wins this game handily. Chad.
So my two games of intrigue is going to start in Charlotte, North Carolina, as Matt knocks our recording box off the desk. It is going to be ACC versus Big 12, and what in reality, I think if with all the conference realignment we've got going on, that West Virginia could be an ACC team. 8-4 North Carolina, 8-4 West Virginia, 5:30 December 27th. West Virginia, 5.5-point favorite, over-under in this game, 55.5. Let me tell you something. If you're betting on this game between West Virginia and North Carolina, you should absolutely hammer the over. Hammer this over. Drake May has officially declared for the NFL draft, and like Matt just said, bowl season's unpredictable, but with Neil Brown, and what he did this season to save his job and get West Virginia back in a positive direction. Look, I will always be on record as saying that West Virginia is a sleeping giant of a job. The buy-in is there. The fan base is there. I think that if you really brought the correct guy in, that West Virginia would have the money to put behind that program, to put them in the right direction. I think with the direction that college football is moving in the Big 12, West Virginia can be a player for the Big 12 each and every year. I'm going to take the Mountaineers in this game. I don't know who North Carolina is going to have at quarterback, but I think West Virginia is riding high. Neil Brown got the vote of confidence from his AD, and actually this time it's not the dreaded vote of confidence.
Or is it?
Or is it? I mean, he saved his job.
Anytime you get a vote of confidence, that means that there was a lack of confidence.
There was a lack of confidence somewhere. But and Matt is correct. But either way, I think West Virginia is going to beat North Carolina in this game strictly for the absence of Drake May. And West Virginia is going to have a 9-win season. And Neil Brown's going to have some momentum heading into 2024. And my second game, 9:15, December 28th on ESPN. Number 14, 9-3, Arizona. Number 12, 10-2, Oklahoma. Listen, Jackson Arnold playing in the Alamo Bowl in San Antonio. This place is going to be packed with Oklahoma fans. It's going to be packed with red, period, because of red with Arizona and red with Oklahoma. Arizona is a three-point favorite, over-under 62.5. But I'm going to have to give the lean to Arizona here. Look, in my opinion, if I had a vote for Coach of the Year, it's absolutely going to be Jed Fish. Jed Fish has done a phenomenal job in Tucson with what Arizona has done this year in the Pac-12. Arizona could potentially have a 10-1 season, first 10-1 season since Rich Rodriguez was the head coach and then went to the Fiesta Bowl and played Boise State. Phenomenal movings out there in Tucson. Arizona going to be a team to watch headed forward. I think without Dylan Gabriel, this is a big spot for Jackson Arnold, and I think that Arizona is going to win this game. Very intriguing matchup. Any of you who want to stay up late and watch this football game, because it's going to go into the next day, it's going to go past midnight, I highly suggest that you stay up and watch this football game out in San Antonio between Arizona and Oklahoma, and I'm picking the Wildcats to win the game. Keys, who are your two intriguing games?
Well, I'm just going to do one intriguing game. So I'm going to be the resident Georgia Southern fan, as always, and we got the first game of bowl season this week on Saturday. Georgia Southern takes on the Ohio Bobcats, and the spread for this game, I think, is 3.5. And I think this game is going to be decided by interceptions, because Davis Brin and Caleb Hood have had a fantastic season when it comes to passing and receiving yards. They've been flirting with that top five category. If Davis Brin throws an interception, this game is going to be 35-21 in favor of the Ohio Bobcats. If he doesn't throw an interception, you can reverse that score. So in good faith here of the Georgia Southern Eagles, we're going to go 35-21 Eagles. And let's hope it happens.
In a winning season in Statesboro.
God, please. I saw some pictures of the team. They rolled up to the beach today, and they're all just like, there was like eight people standing around in like sweatshirts, just standing on the beach. And I was like, this does not look like a fun, like, I'm sure like they'll go like do fun stuff, but just standing on the beach is not fun in December.
So I'm saying we should have went to the beach.
Okay.
But so we're going to go into our New Year's Six picks now. Number 9, 10-2 Missouri versus number 7, 11-1 Ohio State. ESPN, December 29th at 8 p.m. This game is going to happen from AT&T Stadium in the AT&T Cotton Bowl. Excuse me, Goodyear Cotton Bowl. When did they change that?
It's been Goodyear Cotton Bowl for the past few years.
I will say, I think it's been that way since they changed to the 14 playoff.
AT&T Stadium. Yeah, excuse me. Sorry. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, Mizzou at Ohio State. Mizzou, actually 2.5-point favorite. Over-under in this game, 48.5. Witt, get us started.
So, I think this comes down to who actually decides to play in this game. You got a lot of big NFL prospects. Obviously, Kyle McCord for Ohio State, he's not going to play. So, I'm assuming it's going to be Devin Brown that starts. He was kind of the backup the entire season. I don't really think he got a lot of playing time, so might be a good time to see what he's got. Cody Schrader's another guy for Missouri. He ended up being top 10 in Heisman voting. I think there's a good chance he sits out. I think there's a good chance Marvin Harrison sits out. Emeka Egbuka, he's kind of hurt. I could see him sitting out. Travion Henderson for Ohio State, I could see him sitting out. Luther Burden's only a sophomore, correct? So he'll play. I'm pretty sure he's a sophomore. Yeah, so he'll play. I don't see Brady Cook sitting out for any reason. So I think if you look at what Ohio State has in terms of NFL talent and in terms of transfers compared to what Missouri has, I think there's a lesser chance that Missouri has everybody sit out for this game than Ohio State does. So for me, even with whether Cody Schrader plays or not, I think Missouri wins this game because of that. And I think if they were both at full strength, let's just assume everybody plays, I still would take Missouri because I think Cody Schrader is that good, and he's a stud. They got a great defense. They got a really good running back. Brady Cook's a good quarterback, too. I'd take him over McCord, even if McCord was playing. So I'm going to say Missouri by at least a touchdown. Matt.
Yeah, I'm with you, actually, Witt. I don't think Marvin Harrison Jr. is playing. I feel like I read that somewhere he had already said he was opting out. No Kyle McCord. I don't think Kyle McCord's all that good anyway. Ohio State's defense has been a little underrated all year. I think that they do play pretty physical brand of football. But Cody Schrader is a man who won't be denied. Brady Cook had an outstanding year. Luther Burden, Theo Weiss on the outside, catching passes from Brady Cook have both been outstanding. I just think Missouri this year is that team that won't be denied. Love MIZ in this game, and I think that they're going to come out on top here, and Ohio State goes down, and Ryan Day kind of plays going to the NFL.
MIZ, ZOU, all the way across the board. I'm going with the Tigers in this game. Look, I think this game is going to be a classic example, and you know, we talk about it all the time. It's not an excuse in bowl games, but the reality is that it does happen sometimes, and that's Ohio State's going to play like they don't want to be there. And I think Missouri wants to be there. I think Missouri has an opportunity to show themselves in light that gives them good momentum going forward in the SEC, even with their former Big 12 rivals coming in next year in OU and Texas. And I think Brady Cook and Luther Burden are going to have a great day. Kyle McCord's gone. Like Matt said, he wasn't that good anyway. I do not see Marvin Harrison playing in this football game. I think Marvin Harrison's going to journey on to the NFL and skip this football game. So give me the Tigers, and give me the Tigers actually by 10. I think Missouri can win a 2-touchdown game. I think if you want to look at examples of this game, look at Texas and Georgia from a few years ago. Like I said, it's not an excuse. It's an opportunity to play football and line up against somebody across the field from you and win a game. But I think Ohio State is going to do the old "we didn't want to be there" trick. So moving on, Saturday, December 30th at noon, ESPN, Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. Matt, you'll pick last because I think, Matt, you may be in attendance for this game, correct? Or is that still up in the air?
That is the plan.
Matt plans to be in attendance for this football game. Number 11, Ole Miss. Number 10, Penn State. Like I said, Mercedes-Benz Stadium, Atlanta, Georgia. Penn State, somehow the favorite at 3.5. Of course, at this point, now this game is obviously 3 weeks out, so a lot can change. 48.5 is the over-under in this football game. Witt, get me started.
Yeah, so, I mean, looking at this game, I think it comes down to, obviously, Ole Miss's offense versus Penn State's defense. Penn State's has a really solid defense. I think even looking at who they played this year, which to me, the Big Ten was actually really, really down, they still have a really solid defense. They got a lot of talent. I think it will hurt them that Manny Diaz is now going to be the head coach at Duke. I'm assuming he's not going to coach in this game, but the system's still in place. It is what it is. I think I like Ole Miss in this game more than I like Penn State. And I think a lot of it comes down to what Penn State can do on offense, which is not much. Drew Aller, in my opinion, has been a massive disappointment this season. They have two really solid running backs, but neither of them really had any games where you're like, holy crap, this is like a potential Heisman winner, Blake Corum, Donovan Edwards type of running back duo. So I just don't see it with their offense. I don't think their offense can score enough to keep up with Jackson Dart and Trey Harris and Judkins and all those studs at Ole Miss. And I don't think they'll have anybody sit out either. So I'm going to go Ole Miss. I'm going to go Ole Miss by at least 10. Matt.
Yeah, so I forgot. I'm going last. Oh, Chad.
Dang you, Santa. I would curse, but you'd put me on the naughty list. I'm going to go with Ole Miss as well. Like everything Witt said, I don't think that Drew Aller really disappointed me this year in his production at quarterback. Of course, this was his first year starting, but I had a lot of higher expectations for Penn State. I thought Penn State could contend for a playoff spot. They did not end up doing that. Their offense was kind of anemic throughout the year. They relied on their defense. They resembled very much Iowa, except they had a lot more offense or a lot more athletes on the offensive side of the ball than Iowa does. However, their offense did not produce in the way that I thought they would. And I got to give the edge here to Ole Miss because of their offense. I think Ole Miss's defense, while not great, is good enough to keep that Penn State offense in check. And I think Jackson Dart and Quinshon Judkins and all the weapons that Lane Kiffin and this Ole Miss team have on offense is enough to get Ole Miss their first 11-win season in school history. Look, Ole Miss, this game means a lot to Ole Miss. Yeah, they lost to Alabama. Yeah, they lost to Georgia. But Ole Miss is trending in that direction to where right now New Year's Six games still mean something to them. And until they reach that pinnacle next year of, like I said earlier, I think they're a playoff team, this game means a lot. This will be the first 11-win season in the University of Mississippi's history. Lane Kiffin's doing great things at Ole Miss. I got the Rebels in this football game, and I'm with Witt. It's got to be at least a 2-touchdown score. Matt.
Rebs across the board, which normally doesn't turn out well for us. But looking at ESPN's like predictor, because I dove in for our bowl pick'em too, just to see what we've got going on. And ESPN's bowl predictor actually has Penn State winning this game at a 72% clip, and I think that that's way, way off, personally. Penn State's already got one of their linebackers who said that he's opting to sit out for the bowl game because he's going to the NFL. And I think we have put so much emphasis on Ole Miss as an offensive school that we forget that Pete Golding has turned Ole Miss's defense into a very, very formidable defense this year. I'm not saying they're like a top 20 defense or top. I think they finished in the top 40 defensively, but that's the best that they've ever been in the Lane Kiffin era at Ole Miss. And Pete Golding has had them playing really good, especially against subpar quarterback play. When they played against quarterbacks that were like really good, Jaden Daniels, that the defense didn't look good. Carson Beck, defense didn't look good. But Ole Miss's defense won them the Egg Bowl. Ole Miss's defense won them in a lot of ways the Auburn game. Ole Miss's defense won them the Arkansas game. Ole Miss's defense won them games this year in ways that Ole Miss has not won games in the past in Lane Kiffin's tenure. Ole Miss, for the first time really ever in the past 7 years since the Hugh Freeze stuff, had a defense that said, oh, well, they're a little spunky. They're a little frisky. And then you counter that with an offense that can move the ball. Quinshon Judkins is going to be a big question mark here. If he runs like he knows how to, if Ulysses Bentley is healthy, I like the Rebs in their quest to win 11 games for the first time in school history.
Very nice. Very nice. Moving on to the Capital One Orange Bowl, which is on the same day, December 30th. 2 days before we ring in the new year, a game that Whit Barfield and I will be attendance at Hard Rock Stadium in Miami, Florida. Number 6, Georgia, 12-1 versus number 5, undefeated Florida State. A lot of talk around this football game. A lot of talk that Florida State may opt out of this football game. I sincerely hope not, or else Whit and I are just going to go to Miami for no reason. But either way, I think I'm cool with going to Miami for no reason. So
beaches,
yeah,
the beaches,
an actual beach in December worth going to.
And trust me, it'll be hot in Miami.
It'll be hot in Miami, especially if Whit wears that Santa suit.
The Santa suit is not making the trip to Miami.
But Whit, you'll pick last, man. Georgia, 14-point favorite, 44.5 is the under over in this game. Matt, who do you have?
14's not enough. The dogs are going to obliterate them. They have no quarterback play, and there's a lot of people who are like, yeah, but how checked out is Georgia going to be? They're not going to. They're not. I know that this year they're not playing for a national championship. However, they're playing for something, and that's Kirby wants to send a message that this is not a fluke. Kirby's got this team ready to roll. Kirby is Kirby. He learned from the GOAT. He's the closest thing that we've seen to Nick Saban from the tree of Nick Saban. Georgia's going to obliterate Florida State. They have a good run game, so maybe if Trey Benson can be effective in the run game, which Georgia has struggled with stopping a lot this year, maybe that they can do something. I just feel like all you have to do if you're Georgia is load the box up and take Rod Maker beat you, and he can't. I don't think that there's any way that he can. Georgia's secondary is really good. Maybe Keon Coleman poses a threat out there, but Georgia, I feel like, has done a pretty good job over the course of the season. I just don't see this game being close at all. Florida State was anemic on offense. Georgia by a lot.
I'm fully with Matt on this one. It is the oddest thing in the world. And I can't believe that I've come to this point in my life where, as a Florida fan, that I'm going to be attending a game in which the two teams and two programs that I hate more than anything in this world are going to be playing each other. But, you know, when your friends call and say, hey, will you go to Miami with me? I think you have to do that. And so, Whit, I'm only doing this because we're friends.
I think you just wanted to experience your first ever college stadium road trip with me. I know you've been jealous.
I have been jealous. That's a big part of what it is. So, like, we're going to go. So, let's just lay out the plan real quick. We're going to go to Tallahassee, and then I believe we're going to go to Gainesville. I'm going to show Whit around Gainesville, and then we're going to go from there to Tampa Bay, And we're going to check out USF. We're going to check out Raymond James, Tropicana Field, things like that. And then from there, we're going to go to Miami.
You don't need to see the Trop.
Oh, yes, we do.
No, you don't.
Yes, we do.
Just the outside. Just the outside of it.
It's the outside of the Trop.
You're going to go and you're going to be like, so that's it, huh?
Well, dude, the two baseball stadiums we're going to see are going to be the Trop, and then it's going to be the Marlins Stadium, which is worse, especially from the outside.
No.
He's been. Have you?
I've sang the national anthem.
I've been to both.
Oh, okay.
I've seen a game in both.
Dude, the Marlins Stadium is horrible. It is gross. I cannot believe that's one of the newer stadiums in baseball.
All right.
Wait till you see Tropicana.
I love baseball, but this is not about baseball. But we're gonna check out FIU. We're gonna check out FAU. We're gonna check out the University of Miami's campus. I'm making Witt go to Homestead Miami Speedway because as the NASCAR fan in me, I want to see the track.
Which coming from where we're coming from in Tampa, we actually go right by it on the way to Miami, so it actually works out really well.
So awesome, works out great. And so we're going to go to the game, and on the way back, we're going to go check out UCF, check out the campus there. We may stop in Jacksonville, and then we're going to round out our trip, and hopefully if our wonderful friend Matthew Howell is back in town from celebrating Christmas with his in-laws, we're going to watch the playoff on New Year's Day at your house.
Rose Bowl, baby.
You're going to be here on...
I'll be here.
On the 1st.
We're coming back on the 1st.
All right, so Witt's going to stay at my house on the 1st. And we're going to spend New Year's Day right here at the Howell residence.
You'll be back in time for the Rose Bowl?
Yes.
Yes. So that's how we're going to round out the road trip. We'll be here in Statesboro. So starting in Statesboro, going to Miami, hitting stops on the way, and coming back and ending in Statesboro. But I'm with Matt. As far as the game goes, look, Florida State can come at this one of two ways. They can either do the same thing Ohio State's going and be disappointed and act like they don't want to be there. Or two, they can play their ass off and try to prove something. But even if they choose option two, look, Georgia is not going to have a repeat of what they did in the Sugar Bowl against Texas and pretend that they don't want to be there, because Kirby's not going to let that happen. I think Matt's exactly right. This is the best coach we've seen in the mold of Saban to ever come out of his program and from his tutelage. And I think, if anything, you look at what Saban did last year with Alabama in the Sugar Bowl against Kansas State, a game where they didn't want to be there, they destroyed them. And I think Georgia's going to do the same thing. Look, Tate Rodemaker just does not have what it takes to beat Georgia. Georgia, as far as I know, Georgia doesn't have anybody opting out. No Beck, no McConkey, you know, no Bowers, nobody opting out of this football game from what I've heard. I think Georgia's got a lot to prove in this game, and I think... And Matt said it last week, and Matt is correct when he says, if you look at this game, because of the way bowl games are now, do not take Florida State losing this football game as, oh, Florida State didn't deserve to be there. He's got a point, and I agree with it, but at the same time, if Florida State doesn't have anybody sit out against a Georgia team that doesn't have anybody sit out, you kind of have to look at it that way and go, well, damn, Florida State was going to get their... was going to get boat raced by everybody in the playoff besides Washington. So it's a double-edged sword there. I've got the dogs. I think Witt and I will be leaving Hard Rock Stadium early and heading back to the hotel because this game's not going to be close. Witt.
I honestly think we're going to see a lot more guys opt out of this game the closer we get to it. I think a large part of the reason you haven't seen that many guys opt out is because of this whole transfer portal window they have going on. So I think as it goes on and we find out who's transferring and how many people are going to be on the roster, that's when we'll start to see people opt out. Because I think right now people are waiting around, like Amarius Mims for Georgia. I bet he opts out. I would honestly be shocked if Brock didn't, just because it's pretty obvious he's hurt. Even against Alabama, he looked like he was hurt. Same with Ladd McConkey. So I think as we get closer, we'll see more guys make that decision. We'll see more guys look at if they actually want to go to the draft or not. I think Beck is pretty much coming back. He's been taking all the first team snaps. So I don't see a reason why he wouldn't play. But yeah, I mean, I agree with you guys. Florida State's going to come in here limping. I think how they respond to being left out of the playoff in this game actually says a lot more about Mike Norvell and that program than it does than you would think. Because I think if he can get guys, if he can talk guys into playing in this game, like Keon Coleman, Jared Verse, Johnny Wilson's already said he's opting out, Trey Benson, a lot of those guys on defense, if he can get them to play and play well, that says a lot about what he can do with that program. So I think it's a lot bigger than people think, but I do think they have a lot of guys opt out. I think Georgia has a lot of guys opt out. I think Georgia's got more depth, so I think we win big. So I'm going Georgia by at least 3 touchdowns.
All right, and last game of the night as we finish off our New Year's Six picks. Like I said, we will be back with playoff predictions before the new year. Verbo Fiesta Bowl in Glendale, Arizona, home of the Arizona Cardinals. Oregon and Liberty, number 8 Oregon at 11-2, number 23 Liberty at 13-0. Oregon, a 17.5-point favorite, over-under in this game, 65.5. Witt, start us out.
So, this one's pretty simple to me. If you look at Oregon's strength of schedule, they're not even in the top 130 teams in FBS. They're undefeated. I watched them against New Mexico State. That offense is solid. Caden Salter, very solid.
You mean
player.
Liberty?
What'd I say?
Oregon.
Liberty is not even in the top 130 in FBS. Caden Salter is a great quarterback. JB Chadwell is a great coach. I think he's one of the big up-and-comers. We've been talking about him for a long time since he's been at Coastal. But I think Oregon's too good. I don't know if Bo Nix is going to play in this game or not. Right now, it sounds like he is playing. And same with the rest of their brass. I mean, I think most of their best players are going to play in this game. And Dan Lanning has not won a New Year's Six game yet. So this could be his first, put the trophy in the trophy case. And so I think Oregon wins pretty big. I think it's closer than people think. I don't think it's like a 21-28-point game. I think it's like a 14-17-point game just because of how explosive Liberty's offense is. I think it's better than most people think, but I think in the end, Oregon runs away with it in the fourth quarter, and they win pretty convincingly. So I'm going to say 17-point win for Oregon.
I'm going Oregon cover, dominant, boring New Year's Six game. Ducks, massively big. Maybe I'm looking at this too simplistically, but I watched, and this is no shot at New Mexico State. We love the Aggies. However, I watched the Aggies really give Liberty a run for their money. And the only team I watched Oregon truly struggle with all year was Washington. Utah, blowout. In Salt Lake City, by the way. That was supposed to be a close game. Pretty much any game that I watched Oregon, aside from when they played Washington both times, Oregon dominated start to finish. USC gave him a little bit of run. Liberty ain't USC. Jamie Chadwell's done a fine job. He's motivated his team to beat lesser teams. They are literally last in strength of schedule. 133 out of 133. The fact that they get an auto bid into New Year's Six Bowl is a sham. And the fact that Oregon gets them, they're licking their chops. And I don't think they're going to play with their food. It's going to be a blowout. Ducks big.
Congratulations to Jamie Chadwell. Congratulations to Liberty. But the reality of the situation is, if Bo Nix plays in this game and goes out a college legend at Oregon, Oregon's going to kill him. 133rd strength of schedule out of 133 teams in FBS. It's just, look, good for you, Liberty. You did what you had to do. I will not punish you for that. I will not hate you for that. But you played in Conference USA. It's awesome that you're getting your opportunity, but I think Oregon's going to kill them. I don't have a lot to say about this football game. I'm with Matt. The auto bid for the G5 was nice at first, but now we need to get rid of it. Oregon big. Oregon really, really big. I will say this. If Bo Nix doesn't play in this game, I don't know a lot about what Oregon has coming off the bench in terms of depth of backup quarterback. However, I still think, even if it was closer with a backup quarterback, that Oregon is still going to win. So we're ducks across the board. We're 4 picks across the board, which, again, never works out for us. But Witt and I are going to find eventually a way to break this tie. And we'll see. We'll see how it pans out. But like I said, for us, this is our last episode before Christmas. We're going to take a little bit of a week and a half, 2-week break here. We will be back before New Year's Day to make sure we at least give our synopsis of the playoffs and make our picks there, and then we will make our picks for the national championship game after that. But until then, on behalf of myself, Matthew and the Howell family, Jonathan and the Kiesler family, Witt and the Barfield family, and all of us here involved at Rowdy Southern Saturday, we hope you have safe travels. We hope you have just a wonderful time with family. And from the bottom of our hearts, we wish you a very, very Merry Christmas. You will hear our voices again before January 1st, 2024. And Witt, sign us off with a ho, ho, ho.
Ho, ho, ho. A Merry Christmas.
Thank you guys so much for tuning into Rowdy Southern Saturday. If you enjoyed the episode, please give us a 5-star rating on Spotify and Apple Music, and follow our social media at Rowdy Pod on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you next time.